This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Time to get reacquainted here on Sabres Live. It's been a while. Hi, Marty. Look at you. How are you? What have you been up to? This is clearly a case of absence making the heart grow fonder. I'm really happy to see you.
Yeah, I'm happy to see you too. It has been a busy 4 days, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, without any shows. But I don't know. Do you want the good or the bad? Like, what are you? You're asking me what have I been up to? Do you want the good or the bad?
Well, I don't want to say you've been oversharing, but it's not as if I don't know what you've been up to. And the fact
you know that, the bad. I've shared the bad, and I feel like I was bad luck.
What did you do to my Buffalo Bandits?
Yeah, what did I do to the Bandits, and what did I do to the Rochester Americans? Like,
well, the
seriously,
played 80, like 72 games, whatever. Like, I get it. There's something. I was hoping for the Bandits' perfect season. What did you do to them?
Oh, well, what I did is I decided. Well, because Jacob was back in town for a couple of days, I decided it'd be fun to all go to a chef's restaurant for dinner beforehand.
Lovely.
Which was fantastic. That was not a bad thing. That was a fantastic thing.
That's a win.
When on Saturday?
No, like,
it was a
win.
Yeah, that's a win. That's a big W. And we had a kid, one of Jacob's teammates from California, that came with him, right, to spend a few days and just kind of have a little bit of a break. So he enjoyed it. And then we went to the Bandits game. Maybe I should have known not to bring a California kid to a San Diego Seal Buffalo Bandits game, because that would be bad luck. Although he was not a San Diego fan. But I saw the Bandits.
He might be now.
He might be now. I saw the Bandits, like Friday night, give up. Well, Friday night was 5-0. Saturday was 4-0. Then they scored in the first quarter. It was fine. They get back in the game. Second half, they take over. They're up by a goal. 30 seconds left. Boom, they get scored on. Go to OT.
6 seconds left.
Well, yeah, that
six.
It was. But it was 30 seconds left when the Bandits had the ball. And, you know, they had a chance to seal it. Mm-hmm. And they didn't. And then they came back, took a timeout. They made a play 6 seconds left. Boom. Shot from the high slot. Goes in. And in overtime, it was back and forth. Like, it wasn't one possession. It was, I think the Bandits got three or four good possession, good looks.
Yeah.
The San Diego Seals did as well. And then San Diego scored. I was entertained. It was a really good second half of the game. Remember Scott Driscoll? The former linesman.
Yes.
He's from the area, like we always talk about. He was sitting in the row behind me. So it was kind of interesting. Like, we're talking hockey, we're talking lacrosse or whatever, which was fun. But he knew somebody on San Diego, and I was in the middle of San Diego fans. My tickets were literally with San Diego fans. So I cheered loud for the Bandits, but it didn't make a difference.
Well, I'll see what I can do. Maybe I can get you to San Diego and sit among Bandits fans this weekend for the rematch on Saturday night at 10 p.m. So,
well, I will have to leave right after the Sabres game.
Yes, you will.
Sabres play the Rangers. I better get a jet, a private jet, and make my way over there. So, and then on Sunday, I'm like, I'm going to watch the Rochester Americans against Laval. It's a big game, you know, so I put flow hockey on. I've got in the family room. You know, Jacob and his buddy are there. We're watching the game. And for the first time in his Rochester Americans career, Devin Levi gets pulled. And the Rochester Americans lose to Laval 5-2. And now Laval jumped ahead of Roch in the standings.
Yeah, I don't think the score 5-2 was really indicative. It was an interesting postgame presser for Coach Michael Leone. I'm with him. They played well enough to win. But you're not going to sit there and pile on the net minding. But
Laval had some chances they buried. Like, Roch had so many chances.
They scored on their first two shots. They had like four on the first 11. Like,
yes.
And a lot of them were not good goals. You're sitting there going, how did that go in?
Yeah.
So, and it's just one of those days. It's unfortunate. But the Amerks are on a home heavy stretch. They play tonight at home against Cleveland. They play Friday at home against Belleville, and Saturday at home against Toronto. That one's a 5:05 start, almost in direct competition with our Sabre game against the Rangers, which is a 5:30 game. So,
You know what? We talked about Michael Leone often, and we had him on the show last week on Wednesday when they were about to play in Cleveland, I believe it was. But when you look at some of his press conferences, right? And it was Saturday after the Rochester Americans lost they won to Utica on Saturday.
They lost on Friday.
They lost on Friday,
but
it was either Friday or Saturday. I don't remember which one it was, but how he was honest about it. He didn't like the way that the team played. And he's like, the hardest thing for me is looking at some of the guys that are scratches that would do everything they could to get in. And I have to go and tell Fiddler Schultz and those guys, like, you're not playing, right?
Right.
I think he's pressed the right button this year many times. It didn't happen against Laval on Sunday. Not for a lack of, like you said, playing good, and it just the bounces didn't go their way. Mm-hmm. And Devin didn't have a good game, but it happens, right? But I have liked, after a 7-3 win against Utica, how he's like, no, that's not going to be good enough. And after certain games this year, him and the way that he's speaking to the media, because I know he spoke to the team right before and said the same thing to them. So there is something good happening with Michael Leone and the Rochester Americans right now in the way that they're approaching games. And when it's not good enough, he lays it out there and he tells everybody it's not good enough.
Again, Amerks home tonight to Cleveland. There's four teams in the hunt for top spot in the North. They are separated by 5 points. Obviously, Rochester and Cleveland would be two of those four teams that we speak of. Four Nations Talk will be coming up. We also have a special guest at the bottom of the hour, someone you have worked with very closely.
Yeah, Tessa Bonhomme, formerly of TSN, also of Team Canada. She won the Olympics gold in 2010 in Vancouver, but does work with the PWHL. So she has been part of the takeover tour that the PWHL has had, and they're going to be here on Sunday at KeyBank Center, where the New York Sirens and Boston are going to be playing here. Mm-hmm. And so we'll talk to Tessa about a little bit of everything. Her career, the PWHL, what's going on, and she's awesome. When I texted her last night, she was on her way to her beer league game, so she still wears the gear and goes out and plays, and it's going to be fun to talk to her about that.
And obviously, her interest will be piqued, like most right now, from an international standpoint of Canada-U.S. Mm-hmm. in the Four Nations final tomorrow. Sabre-wise, it's back to work yesterday. And back on the ice again today for the bulk of the Sabres, who were originally, not in the Four Nations. Now the rest of the crew has trickled back. Pretty much, was it who was not there today? Dallin
Jokiharju.
Dallin and Jokiharju come back tomorrow. And obviously, more full health, I guess, is the way to look at the Sabres right now, with the expectation that Greenway comes back on Saturday. Maybe Malenstein, he's returned to practice, but obviously was dealing with back spasms before. So, I mean, what, like, it feels like now forever, and you knew this was going to happen. It feels like forever between games. So what do you think is happening right now with this group as it tries to have, you know, three hard days of practice in anticipation of the final stretch?
When Lindy Ruff spoke to the media yesterday, he basically said, I laid out what needs to happen for the team right now, and it's, this is our playoff push. This is our playoff push. He said, we need 7 points out of every 10. So you're looking at these five-game segments, and you need 7 points. And, you know, the last five-game segments, they were 4-1. So they got 8. So you're looking, and he's saying, if we get 7 points out of every 10, then that would give them 84 points with 3 games to play. You win those 3 games, you get to 90, and you hope you get in. That's the playoff push. Is it a lot to ask? 100%, it's a lot to ask. The Sabres are not a 500 hockey team right now, and you want them, or you're asking them to play at 700 point percentage until the last 3 games of the season, and then win those 3 games. So it's a lot to ask. But I think what he's trying to create is that desperation and that need for the level of competitiveness to rise. It had risen a little bit the last, you know, 2 weeks before the break, but he wants it to be even higher than that. And so you've got Jordan Greenway coming back. That's going to help in that department. Is that going to move the needle where you're under 500 to a 700 point percentage team? I don't know. I think that's a lot to ask, but it's better to have healthy bodies than not. So I guess we'll see. But it's all about the competitive balance and competitive nature of everybody being at the higher level that it's ever been.
Well, there's a couple of ways to look at this. I mean, when you have an extended break, one would assume it should make you itch that much more to get back at it and play.
Yes.
The dwindling number of games, there's 28, I get it, that's still a lot, but it's significantly less than when we had this conversation early on in the year when Lindy was being asked and speaking out openly about posting the standings in the locker room. So nothing has changed, right? Like, you're sitting, like, you were trying to have urgency months ago by having the standings as the focal point. Well, guess what? They're still a focal point. We're talking about it again. Now we're talking more specific. And if we're going to rewind the tape to our last show or thereabouts, both you and I believe that they need more than 7 points out of every 10. If anything, I said they need 7.5. They need to win at a 750 percentage.
Yes.
Not a 700 percentage. Now, this is complete, like, guesstimation on my part as to what the finish line is going to be for wildcard 1 and 2 in the Eastern Conference. But I think it's going to be a little north of 90. So it's going to be that much more challenging.
I think you're right. I think it is going to be north of 90. And I said a couple of months ago, like, keep your eyes on the New York Rangers, right? If you think the Rangers are going to get it figured out and get themselves in maybe a wild card spot, try to stay as close as you can from the Rangers. And you have them Saturday. You are 9 points back right now of the New York Rangers. They have 58 points. You have 49. You beat the Rangers. You slide in 7 points back. And all of a sudden, you give yourself a better chance, because I think the Rangers are going to either catch Detroit or Ottawa at some point and get themselves into a playoff spot. So that maybe is the one focus for Saturday, is saying, hey, the New York Rangers will be a team that's going to fight for a wild card spot. Let's get ourselves closer to them. That's the focus. And then you're going to play the teams that are in front of you before the end of the season. So you can have those type of one game, winner take all, 4-point game, whatever you want to say it, along the way. You're going to have to win all of them. Because given the 2 points the Rangers Saturday sets you so far apart again. Like, even if you get 7 out of 10, if you lose the games to the teams that are in front of you, you're going to be in trouble.
So how do they do it? I mean, what What clicks now? Is it something to do with the three players who were away at Four Nations? And something tangible that Darlene takes away from, you know, it's hard to say, like, he didn't win. They didn't win, right? It's not like he's coming back like Hasek and Schmelik in 98 as gold medal winners from the, you know what I mean? So, but that's not to say he doesn't take something incredible away from it. Obviously, he
does. I think there's something very, very easy to take away from it if you're Rasmus Dahlin. Yeah. Is I can't believe they didn't play him as much as they could have. Yeah. And he's got to think, like, what the heck? Like, you don't think I am better than Erik Karlsson? Erik Karlsson played so much more than Dahlin. And, you know, it was Hedman, it was Karlsson, it was Gus Forsling. Dahlin was like fourth or fifth on that list. And it didn't start that way. Mattias Ekholm played more than Dahlin early on and then played less. But I'm like, if you're Dahlin, you come back saying, I'll show you that I'm better than those guys. I'll show you that next year when you go to the Olympics, I'm a top paired, you know, guy. I'm not a fifth defenseman on your team or fourth defenseman. I'm a power play guy. I'm an overtime guy. Like, I think if I'm Rasmus Dahlin, I know. Like, as a team aspect, it's disappointing. Sweden lost two games in overtime and beat the Americans, and they don't get in, right? Like, it's it's frustrating. I get it. Maybe it's best case scenario. USA, Canada, Thursday night. Woo, that's great. But if you're Dahlin individually, you're like, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you that you made a big mistake by not playing me more, and next year you better do it, or the same thing will happen again to Team Sweden. You won't medal, or you won't get to the gold medal game.
I understand that, but how does it impact the Sabres now? Because I'm sure Sabre fans aren't worried about what Dahlin is motivated for the Olympics next year.
No, but if Dahlin comes in and continues to play like at a point, a game pace and more, and, you know, he did score the Four Nations, so maybe we're like, hey, let's go get maybe, you know, 10 goals between now and the end of the season. Maybe it's 7 goals, but I'm just looking at produce offensively, put the team on your back, have that attitude that you're going to, you know, send a message to everybody, and I get it. Like, you... maybe the message has been sent to Team Sweden and the hockey operation side of it moving forward. But who's benefiting from it is Dahlin and the Sabres. And, you know, be having that mentality. Like, this is not going to happen again. And maybe they looked at Dahlin and say, you know what? You're the captain of a team that's last in the Eastern Conference. We're going to take a guy like Ekholm and play him more because he went to the finals last year. And Hedman has won cups. And Forsling has won a cup. And Erik Karlsson won Norris. Like, we're going to take those guys over you and play them over you because they've done more. Well, go ahead, Rasmus. Show them and do more so they can't have that excuse next year.
Well, it's interesting for us to talk about ice time and Dahlin at the tournament based on, you know, what we noticed in the final game before the break, which ended up being lost to Nashville, where Dahlin and Byram were very much a talking point, but Dahlin only played 24 minutes. And I say that based on what you're saying right now, maybe what Sweden could have used more of. And the direct question would be, how much time on ice per night from here on out do you see Rasmus Dahlin playing to make the difference, to get at least 7 points out of every 10, to be the captain and the guy that somehow picks this entire team up with him?
I think it's 25 or more. Like, look, the Sabres have 28 games left. It's not looking at the season. And I know it's congested, right? The month of March especially. Oh, like, we have, you know, a week in February. And then the month of March is games every other day, and it's a lot. But until you're mathematically out and saying, like, look, we there's nothing left we can do, I think you're playing Dahlin 25 minutes. Now, Samuelsson skated. He's looks like he could be back on Saturday as well. So you've got Joki Aryu, who I thought with Team Finland had a good experience at the Four Nations. Maybe the one that would benefit, and you asked me that question on the pregame before the break. I think Joki Aryu coming back probably benefits more than anybody else from what has happened to him. Like, he scored, he played well, he saw what he can be, right? Okay, mm-hmm. go ahead. So you got Yokiaru and Dallin. Dallin plays 25. Byram, either he wants a new deal or he wants to go somewhere else. Like, there's a lot individually that can spark them. So, but I think 25 minutes a game for Dallin until you're out is probably the norm.
Mm-hmm. You think he'll lead the league in time on ice among defensemen from here on out?
I think it's going to be close. There's guys out there, the Cale Makars and Quinn Hughes, right? Like Vancouver, if Quinn Hughes is healthy and comes back and plays, Vancouver is in a playoff battle. They're probably going to play Quinn Hughes, you know, 26, 27 minutes a game until they are guaranteed to be in, and then they can drop his minutes a little bit. But there's guys that play a lot, and I think that maybe because of those battles being playoffs or positioning, you may see a few guys play more than Rasmus Dahlin.
The catch often in these situations is if you can get yourself on a winning stretch and not be nail-biting every single game, and I get it, this is a lot to ask in basically a one-goal game league, you can back off the ice time and you end up, you know, seeing 23, 22 minutes a night as opposed to like, oh my gosh, we have to play him 12 minutes here in the third period to give us a chance, right? So it's not a tell-all. It's not, it doesn't directly line up. They have to play him 28, 30 per night or they won't have a chance. It's not how it goes. But I just think that because we have spent so much time talking about Dallin and Byram, that I would just as soon see them play 26 to 28 a night right now to feel better about your chances. That's all.
It's funny because Dallin is 16th in the NHL in time on ice from defensemen at 24 minutes, 22 seconds on average, right? Mm-hmm. Number one is Drew Doughty. Well, Doughty's only played six games, and when he came back, he was like, I want to play a lot. I want to be part of Team Canada. Mm-hmm. Zach Werenski. I think Werenski probably continues to play 26 plus. He's almost at 27 minutes on average a game. But can Dallin play 26, 27 a game like Zach Werenski? Absolutely. And look at the season Werenski's having. Then it's Makar, Sergachev, and Hughes. So again, two of those guys I mentioned are right up there. But I think we could see Dallin go from 24 minutes and 22 seconds to 26 minutes and 22 seconds on average. Like, it's only 2 minutes. It's two shifts. It's two shifts a game where instead of having somebody else on the ice, you have Rasmus Dallin there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I used to play 60 minutes a game. Like, it can be done. It can be done.
Yes,
well, some nights I didn't play 60 minutes. Some nights it was only 30.
Yeah. Well, in each of the last 2 years, Dallin was well over 25. Two seasons ago, he was almost at 26 and was constantly being talked about as a league leader, a top five in that regard. So interesting that you point out where he's at right now, but we all understand where he came from injury-wise. And, you know, now it's like, okay, let the horse run. Right? I mean, that's
let him out of the barn. Let him out of the barn and let's go.
Yeah. So all that being said, I think sometimes it's too obvious just to focus on that. And like, if there's one thing that is,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going to allow the Sabres to be north of 7 points out of every 10. You only have one choice right now. This is your Mr. Fix-It moment, whatever you want to call it. What is the one thing that you think has to happen for them to have any chance of this?
Okay, well, I think for me, it's pretty easy. You cannot be 28 in goals against per game. So maybe it's too easy to look at Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and the fact that I think he's going to play a lot in the stretch.
Again. Hang on, you just talked about the schedule, though.
Yeah.
And how, so this is actually more interesting than perhaps it could be on any other day that feels like a Monday but isn't. So...
It's like, Wednesday.
Are we getting? I know it's not even our normal start of the week Tuesday. What the heck is going on? Anyway, what do you think the split is going to be here? Like, is because it's so congested for 6 weeks? And I get it. Like, congested doesn't always mean back to back. Obviously, that's not the case. But would you anticipate a little bit more Reimer?
Well, there's four back-to-backs, right? When you look at the schedule for the Buffalo Sabres from now until the end of the season, there's four back-to-backs. At first, I thought 28 games left. I think we see UPL probably 22 or 23 out of them. So Reimer plays five. So that means probably Reimer plays on those back-to-backs, the four of them. Also, it depends where they are. If all of a sudden they win 10 in a row... And you know, UPL and Reimer are both winning their games. Maybe you continue the same stretch. If you don't win 10 in a row, maybe it changes. But I think if you're in the battle until the very last week, you're probably seeing Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in 23 out of the 28 games and probably Reimer 5 of them. That's kind of like the way I see. So yeah, if there's one thing that is going to put the Sabres in a position to maybe get 7 points out of 10, we can talk about Dahlin playing 26-plus minutes. We can talk about Bo Byron playing 26-plus minutes. We can talk about Tage Thompson being on a 100-point pace for the last 28 games, right? Like, if you were to put that over a season, Kulik and Peterka and Greenway back. But I think it comes down to one thing. It's going to come down to, is Luukkonen playing at the level he needs to be playing at? And can you not give up 3.5 goals per game? That's basically what it comes down to.
There's only 2 times in the month of March, 2, where they have 2 days off in a row.
Yeah.
The 13th and 14th, heading into an early afternoon game on the Saturday, and then the following week they are off on the Tuesday and the Wednesday. Other than that, it is every other day and or back-to-backs. So that will feel a lot different than what we have experienced to date. So,
and you talk about Duffer, quickly, you talk about like the start of March, you are going to play in a different building for the until the 25th. The only time you're staying in the same building on consecutive games is the 25th and the 27th. If you have a home game, the next game's on the road. Then the next game is somewhere else on the road. Then you come back home, you're on the road again. Like, you're never going to be in the same place for more than 2 days until the 25th and 27th of the month.
How long have I been in the same place?
You asked me what did I do over the last 4 days. I never asked you, but I still see the same. We don't see it on MSG right now. I see it in the Zoom because it's a little bit wider. That same guitar on the wall that you had on Friday.
There's no strings attached to it or me. Okay. This or that. More games remaining in the Sabres regular season.
Okay.
Or more artists seen by me in the last 6 days.
Wow. Well, that's 28 games remaining. I think more games. I don't think you saw 20. Well, although I know you're in the music capital of the world, so it's easy to see 6 or 7 artists per day. So, yeah, I'm going to say you saw more people than games remaining.
No, games remaining wins, 28 to 24.
Oh, well, let's see, that was close.
But I saw 18 in one day during a 2-hour window because it was open mic night at the legendary Bluebird Cafe. Oh. So you sit there and watch it. Yeah.
Oh, so pretty, like, one song counts for one artist?
That's basically exactly. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So
did you go up? Were you one of those artists that went up for open mic night?
Okay, quick story for anybody that has or hasn't been to the Bluebird Cafe. So it's very small. It's in a strip mall. There's nothing endearing about it other than the fact that it's
so
legendary.
It's not on the strip in
no,
Nashville.
It's way off, out of it's like in Green Hills. And anyway, so people line up beforehand. Like, it's free on open mic night on Mondays. Yeah. Like, there's no cover even. But they only take like about 60 odd people, right? I, of course, was down in the area early, but there's no lineup and it's freezing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I waited too long before I went across the street and lined up. So now the security is going through the line, doing a little head count. And I'm about 70th in the line. And when he gets to 60, he starts to inform everybody, just so you know, the rest of you are not going to get in.
You're on standby.
No, well, yeah, it was doomsday, basically, right? And then he's outlining other scenarios, which I'm not going to bore you with. Anyway, sure enough, eventually the line goes, and I'm about 10 away when the doorman says, well, that's it. We've reached our limit.
Ugh.
Then, but I'm like, whatever, I don't care. And like 2 minutes later, the same doorman starts walking through the remaining line and goes, who's here by themselves?
Me.
I got the last seat in the venue. And I'm sitting at a table with three performing artists and their guitars. Like, I am wedged in like this, and I'm just, like, watching them go up to the stage. It was a pretty wild experience. So
A wild time. I want to go next time I'm in Nashville. Definitely.
It was great. I promise you that...
Maybe I'll get discovered.
You're not already? I
as
assumed
a singer,
you were on some...
As a
you
were, singer.
I know.
As a,
I thought
as
you
artist.
Were on some hidden label already. But anyway... I don't know if it can compare to the Bluebird Cafe experience, but I promise you we will do our level best to make it a wildly entertaining night in Fort Lauderdale on March the 7th for our next road crew party. Sabres.com/road crew is where you get the tickets. Don Edwards, Danny Geer, Jerry Korob, Jim Lorenz, Razor, Pierre Turgeon, and more among Sabres alumni who will be in attendance. Tickets are just $20. Sabres.com/road crew. Tessa Bonham talking PWHL when we come back on Sabres Live.
Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back to Sabres Live here on Wednesday. And yes, I am excited for this segment coming up. Just like Duffer is so excited when Shayna Goldman comes on every Friday. Because Tessa Bonham of the PWHL, Jackson Jill podcast. She's fantastic. Gold medal at the 2010 Olympics for Team Canada. She's joining us to talk about the TakeOver Tour and other things. Tessa, how was the beer game hockey last night?
My beer league game. Look, Marty, I had mentioned on our podcast that my team has been losing recently. And it's not just losing. Like, we've been getting spanked. Like, we're 5 minutes in and we're already down 3-0. And it's beer league. I get it. I'm there for the post-game beverages and the chicken wings. Like, but like you, I'm sure you know, when things start to go awry a little too much, your competitive connection in your brain reconnects. Oh, yeah. And like, all of a sudden I'm yelling at people to back check. Like, it's beer league. They don't want to back check. We're on Olympic size ice. Like, we are not interested in back checking. And I'm giving people heck. And I'm like, who am I? Like, why am I doing this? So I was like, I'm going to dial it back a bit. So last night we played and one of my teammates looked at her. I'm like, let's just have fun out there. She's like, yeah, but like, let's at least keep it close. So I was like, okay, good. We're on the same page.
Okay, you'll be a great coach, Tessa. Yelling about back checking, competitiveness. Like, you should be a coach.
I don't know. I feel like I'm just best probably tucked away in the corner by myself where no one can see or hear me.
Tessa, how good are things right now for the PWHL with the excitement here in Buffalo of the TakeOver game coming up on Sunday? But give us the wide brush right now on where the league is at and why even more people should be excited about what we're going to see on Sunday.
Well, it's in a lot better place than my beer league record. That's for darn sure. albeit we only lost last night by 2. I just want to clarify that. It wasn't as bad as all the others. The league's thriving. I think it's fantastic. Yeah, the TakeOver Tour, obviously, you know, it hit the ground running when Amy Sheard mentioned, you know, the league was accepting bids for teams that were willing to host an expansion team. Now, whether that expansion happens this year or in 3 years from now, I'm not sure. However, I think it was really cool to see how many cities actually were eager and willing and excited and their fan bases. It all started out in Seattle. We were there for that one. And to be honest, I wasn't quite sure what to expect. I was like, well, they have filled the place. I guess it's good. First of all, that arena is wicked. I love that city. Yeah. And man, they showed up and showed out. It was loud in there and they got all their money's worth. The game went into overtime and a shootout. It was awesome. And then Vancouver followed that up. And then Denver, I'm like, Denver's a good sports city, but like women's hockey, not sure. And then they blew the top off it. I was like, holy shnikes. Like, there's a lot of places that could and want to host a PWHL women's hockey team that are going to have packed rinks similarly to Toronto and Ottawa. They have every single game and Montreal as well. And I feel like, you know, it's nice because I always knew the product was there. I always knew the appetite was there, but now we're actually seeing it city to city to city to city. And like all the cities I mentioned, they're sports cities. Are they hockey cities? Probably not compared to Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo's a hockey city in my mind, right? I've gone to hockey tournaments there growing up. It just feels like all the places that the league is stopping in are places that just, like I said, have that appetite. The last one we came from was Edmonton. The one prior to that was Quebec City. All of them, like I said, showed up and showed out. And the fact that I don't think people understand just how crazy the travel schedule is for these women. And the once they get to a city, it's not like they're just getting to the hotel, ordering room service, you know, getting treatment and a massage. They're like out in the community, rubbing elbows with these young ladies, trying to inspire the next generation. And then this is like an all-day affair. And then they've got practice, and then they got training, and then they got video session, and they're getting up the next day and doing interviews and all this stuff. And then they're going to the game and performing, and they're actually putting fantastic product on the ice on top of having to do all of this other stuff. So, I'm going to say it here. I'll say it a million times over, but this league and the ladies that play in it is the best league in the entire world. And the fact that they are superstars, they are celebrities, but they in no means act like it. They're so humble. They're so down to earth. They have time for every fan. And if you just look at their social media platforms and the way they present themselves or the way they do interviews, it's not, I always call it, you know, the saltine cracker. Sometimes you get interviews from guys in the NHL, NFL, wherever, and you're just like, oh my gosh, like, is there any personality in there? You never get that with these women. There's always something fun, awesome, and they've always got an angle. It's just great. I love everything about the league. Call me biased because I played women's hockey, but I'm a sports fan. I worked at SportsCenter at TSN covering Habs and stuff with Marty. I love all sports, but there are no athletes like these ones that no one compares on a consistent basis across an entire league.
So it is the New York Sirens and the Boston Fleet at KeyBank Center on Sunday at 4 p.m. Tessa, who should we watch for on those two teams? Because you talk about these women that are superstars, and I think fans are going to say, like, hey, who are we going to see and who should we pay attention to?
Well, let's just start with Boston and the GOAT in the United States, who is Hillary Knight. I mean, she's a weapon. Fun to watch, terrible to play against. I can speak to that. She's a nightmare. She's got one heck of a shot. It's a cannon, and she's got a big body. She's so hard to defend, and she's so smart. It's wild the way she processes the game. It's wild the way she's been in the game for so long and has still managed to be the best. Mm-hmm. There's Susanna Tapani, who is her centerman. She's from Finland. She's actually she's the Wayne Gretzky of ringette. I'm not lying. She's a multifaceted athlete. She's unreal. Mm-hmm. She's a big, strong centerman who dishes the puck well, but has a knack around the net, and she's feisty. She's feisty as hell. I love it. The other player on that team that I watch is their goaltender in Aaron Frankel. She by far is my favorite tender in the league right now. She's so good. She's played the most games. She got a 932 save percentage. She's just a rock star, and she's cool as. She's not like, and Marty, I say this lightly, she's not a weird goalie. Yeah. Like, or I shouldn't even say weird. She's not a normal goalie. She is a weird goalie because she's like any other player. She doesn't have the strange situation. She's so casual and just like lighthearted all the time. Nothing phases her. And as well on the back end, Megan Keller, star-studded defender, one heck of a shot. She's just cool as a cucumber back there as well, and feisty. That's the thing about this Boston team is they bring the grit, and it's like they're face-washing you. They're in your face. They're giving you an extra nudge after every play. Like, they really play gritty hockey, and they know how to stay in tight games and get wins in overtime or shootouts. So, I'm a fan of this Boston team, in case you can't tell. But I'm also a big fan of the New York Sirens. Alex Carpenter's been out with an injury. I'm hoping she'll come back very soon and in time for this game, because she is one of the best forwards, I think, in this league that can not only generate goals, but create chances for her team on a consistent basis. She plays on a line with Sarah Filliere, who was the first overall draft pick in this past draft. Filliere is just a ridiculous hockey player. She packs a punch. She doesn't back down from anything. She's got hands. She can shoot. It's awesome. On the back end, they have Ella Shelton. She has been a force to be reckoned with, along with Jamie Bourbonnais. These two have just been I'll say they're up there and two of the most fun defenders to watch in the league this year. And then on the back end, Corinne Schroeder, if she's playing in net, she recently got called up with Team Canada for the rivalry series to be one of their goaltenders. She had been battling for a spot with Toronto Scepters goaltender Kristen Campbell, and it kind of looks like she's edged her out lately. She's played fantastic this year. I think she's got two or three shutouts already on the season. So it's honestly, this is going to be a bloodbath. Both of these teams, like, New York's got the New York swagger with that little bit of feistiness, and literally Boston just beats up people. So it's going to be an awesome game.
This takeover tour, as you laid out, has been so incredible to be in nine different cities. And obviously Buffalo is one of them on Sunday. And I just feel like it kind of keeps, it just keeps hockey in the conversation on more days of the week, right? When we have more to view. So with that being said, we would be remiss if we didn't ask you about US-Canada tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
In the Four Nations final. And just, you know, what it's like for you whenever these two countries go head-to-head and how you feel on a game day when you're not even playing in it anymore.
Similarly to the way I feel when my beer league team is losing very badly, I get amped up. Like it's emotional, and it's like I said, it's a wiring in your brain and you're a pathway that I don't think ever goes away or withers up and eliminates itself. It's really cool. And I love the way that the round robin game was approached. I think the Tkachuk brothers knew what everybody wanted and delivered quite perfectly. And of course, Canada had to buy in as well. I don't think we're going to see the 3 fights in 9 seconds in the final by any means. I'm pretty sure with all the injuries that are coming about and these players getting knocked up, every franchise is like, hey, guys, just play hard. But like, we don't need y'all coming back, you know, beat up and battered, which is fine. That being said, there's still going to be massive hits. There's still going to be huge plays. Goals are going to be celebrated. Like, they're going to go at each other. This is a for real rivalry that I think on the women's side has kind of fizzled out a little bit, just based on the fact that these women on the Canadian and American side really had to come together and band together to create this PWHL league. So they became pals. And there was a point where I was like, why is this going away? Like, what's happening here? And I was like, oh my gosh, they're all getting along. Like, why don't we hate each other anymore? Yeah. But then you got a player like Abby Murphy, who's going to be entering the league hopefully next year. And she brings that. So the fact that this is happening again on the men's side. And I think it does play into the fact that they truly haven't had a best on best against each other in a long time. And so someone needs to claim that, like, who is the underdog and who is the best. And I know it drives Americans nuts when Canadians say like, this is our sport. Like, you have to take it from us, when they're like, hold the phone here. Like, we've got Austin Matthews. We got all the Hughes brothers. Like, what are you guys talking about? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I love it. I can't wait for it. What's my prediction? I'm not sure, but I think it'll be a 4-2 final. I don't know who takes it, but it'll be a 4-2 final.
You know, Tessa, you've been in TV and radio and podcasting long enough to know you don't have to make a prediction. You just have to sit on the fence, and it's like good for everybody. Yeah. So that. Oh, and talking about the podcast, we have about 30 seconds here. Jocks and Jill, like, you and Julia have gotten this platform going. It's fantastic. How's the season going, and what are we expecting for the next few weeks here?
It's going great. We drop episodes every Tuesday and Friday morning. What we do is we have our own little banter, shoot the breeze, and then we break down the goings on in the league, games, what happened, important things to know. And then we have an interview with players or coaches in the league, and we do it on a human level. It's kind of like sitting around having a beer with somebody. We got some good laughs that take place. It's less hockey, more personable stuff. So it's a ton of fun for everyone to get to know the players as people. That way, for people, if you don't have, you know, a team in your market, it's an easy way to find a player that you can relate with and then start cheering for that team.
That's a great insight today. People can learn more about your podcast and everything in women's hockey at thepwhl.com. Takeover happens this Sunday afternoon right here in Buffalo, 4 p.m. start at KeyBank. Enjoy tomorrow night's game. Continued success on the season, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the game, everyone. It's going to be awesome.
It will be, and we're back after this on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
Going for a sprint, and then the other group is resting, and then when the whistle goes, if you were skating, you have a 30-second rest. You're basically just gliding around, and the other group's going. And you go on. Maybe you're doing 7 of them. Maybe you're doing 8 of them. But it's 30-second sprints and then 30-second off, and it looks like they got to experience that today at the end of practice, gives me nightmares.
Sabres host the Rangers on Saturday. Four Nations final is tomorrow, Canada-US. Amerks are home tonight against Cleveland, but without Tyson Kozak, lower body injury week to week.
Yeah, Kozak is out week to week. That's not great for the Rochester Americans. Felix Sandstrom has gone back home on a personal leave as well. So, but the Amerks have a lot of depth, and they have a lot of players that are waiting to get in, so they'll be just fine.
And we look forward to renewing acquaintances again tomorrow right here on Sabres Live. We'll see you soon.
You don't just live in your home. you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.